And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like from Huntsville on back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa on back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. It's stretching across the border into Fort Benning. I called it Fort Benning, Georgia. Yes, and even big old patches of northwest Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, too, just for good measure. All right, we're going to jump on in here momentarily. Let me get a few more text messages real quick. Allie from Athens says, what is so painful about the Orwellian example is that Orwell was a Brit. The fact that this is going down in the UK would make me think that both George Orwell and Winston Churchill would both be rolling over in their graves. Excellent monologue, Colonel Williams. Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's painful. I mean, I love Great Britain. Lived there for 3 years. That's where I accepted Christ. It was a life-changing place for me. It's a mess. Social issues are a mess over there
right now.
It's
like a third world country right now.
It's just unreal. Thomas from Athens. Colonel, great monologue for sure. As seasoned, what is he saying? Anyway, 19, okay, I can't, something messed up in his text here. As seasoned to season have seen 1984 over the years, often still holds up well. Younger ruffians ought to look it up. Okay. That was hard to read. You see what I'm seeing,
sounds
right?
Like a voice text.
Okay, thank you. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, hope everybody's prepared for some very severe weather on Saturday because the tornado word is being thrown around a lot. But as long as JP's doing off the bench, my Saturday mornings will be just fine. Yeah, that's a great point. JP's brother, who is in the world of meteorology, is even passing on the word that Saturday could be ugly. So, yes, I strongly concur, and I think you guys all need to be weather aware, have your weather plans, and just know what it means to be safe. I mean, like, you know, I've seen any number of times James Spann saying, know where your safe place is. So just have your plans in place and take care of your pets and all that kind of stuff. David from Bucky's says, Phil, 1984 and Animal Farm were required reading in ninth grade here in Huntsville. Yeah, they were for me. I think, David, I think you and I come from the same generation, so yes. Bruce from Springville says, great monologue. We should be thankful we don't have four more years of demo Nazis. No doubt, brother. No doubt. And then John C. from Madison says, 1984 was required reading when I was in high school in the early 80s. Exactly. That's exactly where I was, early 80s, which means I just kind of dated myself. But so what? I have never been one to worry about my age. I'm about to hit a big one pretty soon.
What big one? I'm not going to say it.
I'll say it. I don't mind. I'm turning 60 here in a few weeks.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop is right. I mean, it's like, I love it. I hit the Peter Pan syndrome somewhere around 20 years old. And so I just live as large as my body will let me. How about that? Yeah, good stuff. All right, so listen, we got plenty of stuff on tap. I'm jumping into this first one, though. I call it Biden in the rear view. First of all, aren't we glad that Biden's in the rear view? Good Lord. And the more we are learning, the more we're glad that Biden is in the rear view. In fact, not only is he in, I say he's in the rear view, I'm using that term euphemistically. Has anybody seen him?
I was about to say.
Has he been out and about at all?
Him in the rear view means that we actually know where he is. I don't know where he is.
I don't know. I don't need him to show up. It's not like I'm looking for it, but he's just like gone. Poof. He's just gone.
You would think of a former president, there would at least be some, you know, like public appearances of some sort. He's gone off and into his cave or wherever. And that's about it.
He's sitting next to his Corvette in his garage in Delaware.
Yeah.
Looking through his old stack of classified documents.
We haven't even seen any beach appearances or anything from him.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah.
And which is sad on the one hand. I mean, think about this. You live a life that is, you know, remarkable on paper. It really is. And truthfully, it was remarkable in many ways. I mean, the man got to be a part of so much stuff, so much time in history, none of which I agree with. However, it's still history. And then, you know, it's like scripture says, you will look for them and they will not be found. Just like one day's here, the next day's gone. So it's amazing. But you know what? We're also finding out some stuff. So what's happened now is exactly what the Dems did not want. It's worse for them because not only is Trump in office and doing the stuff that we all voted for, but the Democrats are now seeing all of their plans, all of their foibles, all of their hook and crook being exposed to the world. So I got a series of articles here. Let me pull this one from Red State. Alina Haba, you know her. She's one of Trump's legal counselors. She's been on his legal team for a number of years. She posted on yesterday, what she found when she was visiting the White House. She found Joe Biden's old fake Oval Office. Remember that? Remember how he had a fake Oval Office? He would do his pressers from the fake Oval Office.
Yeah, pre-recorded in the fake Oval Office, by the way.
Yeah, oftentimes pre-recorded. That allowed for editing. But you also look at it and go, okay, why are you doing this? Well, she found it. She posted on her social media. She goes, we found Biden's fake Oval Office. And she said, I think I know why they used it now. And she directed the camera that she was talking to turn around, and there was a giant teleprompter screen so that he could sit there and look at what he was supposed to see. It was like a big screen. So he could look at the words and be able to get by, I guess.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either. But that's what we're finding out, though. More and more, the things that we could sense from the outside, but we weren't able to confirm, we're finding it now. I mean, we're finding the relics of his infirmity left and right. So, yeah, it says in the article here, it's been an intriguing question hanging out there in the wind for months now about Joe Biden and the White House. Why did this team create a whole new stage in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building next to the West Wing? Rather than simply filming him in the Oval Office, which, by the way, Trump does every day. And now they know. Because he preferred the fake White House stage built in the old Executive Office Building for events because it gave him the backdrop of an otherwise sterile room with a giant teleprompter. Wow. Wow. Hey, I mean, Trump's use of a teleprompter, I have found, generally speaking, is only when he's doing a formal speech, like the ones you've seen, like, you know, before the joint session of House and the Senate. Generally, though, he's like sitting at the Resolute desk, signing executive orders, just pinging questions, just taking them as they come. And it's just amazing the difference. I got some more of this stuff. They're finding out, like you'll be amazed when you find out about the signing of documents. But let me take a call real quick. Line one, Lloyd from Cortland. Hey, Lloyd, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, how you doing? Listen, these people, these Democrats ain't gonna never change. I don't know why. You know, they ain't no hope for them. But I got another question I'd like to ask, and I ain't been able to find that out around here where I live. I was trying to find out how to get a hold of ICE.
How to do what?
Because we got a ICE, so, okay. You know.
Well, that's really off topic right now, Lloyd, but I think you can probably just look them up on Google, and there they are, and it'll tell you what the local offices are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. Anyway, back on topic. The next thing about Biden. How much time I got for the break? Yeah, good. How about this one? New York Post. Headline. Dateline today. Who was really running the country while auto-penned Joe Biden snoozed and drooled? That's a heck of a headline. Well, it's one thing to know that Biden may or may not have been making decisions, but you'd at least like to believe that someone looked at him and said, Mr. President, this is what we think you should do. Sign here. Okay. That may not have been happening at all. What we're finding right now is the Heritage Foundation did a deep dive on official documents from Biden's time in office. They found that nearly all of them appeared to bear what is known as the auto pen signature. An auto-pen signature, and if you're not familiar with it, a president will get into office and will actually use a mechanical device that, as he signs it, the machine is mimicking his signature and then can put a wet ink signature on a piece of paper by going back and using the pre-recorded movements that it needs to with the pen. Sounds crazy. I mean, there are times when at my law firm, my secretary has a stamp with my signature, and I'll do a letter for her, give it to her, and say, I'm walking out the door, but it needs to go out today. Just please use my stamp. And she'll put it on there and oftentimes note at the bottom, you know, stamped with authorization or something like that. We don't have that on executive orders from Joe Biden. We have what is touted to be his signature, which now when you review them, the Heritage Foundation, like I said, they spent time on this. And they're saying nearly all of the documents signed by Biden appear to have been done by the robot signature. Why would they do that? You know what the one exception was?
Which one was that?
The one exception appears to be the one where he dropped his bid for re-election. He appears to have signed that personally. That's interesting to me.
And that's it. That would seem like the one that he would fight the most, which is kind of funny.
Well, fight the most, but also probably mentally engaged at the most, which means he may have deferred responsibility for so much other stuff and allowed people just to run amok and sign his name while he's off at the beach or wherever else.
Yeah.
But this one he cared about because it was his legacy. Mm-hmm. It was him personally. So the one that impacted him in a personal sense, it looks like he signed it. All the rest of them that impacted all the rest of us, auto pen. House Speaker Mike Johnson has publicly named at least one Biden executive order that went out the door with the president having a fundamentally incorrect idea. You may remember the story. All right, so bottom line, I'll just paraphrase. I won't read the whole article. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, said that he met with Biden to talk to him about liquid natural gas exports and told the president, sir, you signed an executive order that damaged our ability to do exports. And Biden looked at him like he was lost and said, I never signed that. And he said, yes, sir, you did. He goes, I've never signed anything like that. Yes, sir, you actually did. Well, maybe he actually didn't now.
I was just about to bring up that exact story with Mike Johnson. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he had people doing stuff for him.
There's a 25th Amendment that is there to remove a president who is no longer fit or capable of running the office of the presidency. And you look at this and go, okay, if you've got to use the auto pen on the vast majority of executive orders and official documents signed by the President of the United States, should you not have just done the 25th Amendment at some point?
Well, that requires them to have integrity, and they would have to give up power, because I think they saw that as the perfect power grab of, we can have a front man, and then we can just do all the stuff, and we get all we want done.
Integrity. Good answer. Take it to a break, bud. We'll take it to a break. We'll come right back. I got more of this. Biden in the rear view. What are we finding out? And who's going to say anything about it? Is somebody going to take action on this? Well, there's one state attorney general demanding an investigation, and I'll tell you more about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. That's right. Bulletproof influence, I like to say. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to go to the phones real quick, and then I'll jump back into this topic. But, yeah, we're staying on with Biden in the rear view for a minute. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hi. Doing okay. And old Biden in the rear view, Joe Biden in the rear view mirror is, well, he's probably somewhere around his basement or someplace like that, staying out of public view intentionally. And I imagine his son, Hunter, apparently being millions of dollars in debt and has not sold a painting since Biden got kicked out of being the nominee. I imagine he's over there around his father as much as he can be, trying to find out how he can graft some money out of his old man to get caught up.
Listen, I think so, and I think you're right. Yeah, apparently the bottom dropped out of the art market overall. Just for Hunter Biden. That's what it was.
Have a good one.
See you, man. Take care. All right. So, this thing about Biden in the rear view, the things that we're finding out, oh my gosh, the idea that he could have been president again, holy cow. But for the debate, when he finally couldn't hide anymore, when he didn't have somebody feeding him the words, when he didn't have the ability to read a teleprompter, and think about that. Think about how bad that the debate was last June. Remember that? We finally beat Medicare. And nobody knew what he was talking about. He didn't know what he was talking about. In fact, that was the classic line from President Trump. I don't know
beat
what he just said. That's right. He said, I don't know what he just said, and I don't know what he doesn't either. But that exposed, I mean, and by the way, I'll have to point out again, that debate where he did so poorly, he took a week off to get ready for it. He was on vacation for a week to get ready for it. And it makes you wonder, oh my gosh, where would we be if he had gotten reelected? Well, Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's the Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Republican, he posted a tweet that I got hold of this morning regarding a letter that he sent just late last week to the Inspector General, the Honorable Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. He said, I'm demanding the DOJ investigate whether President Biden's cognitive decline allowed unelected staff to push through radical policies without his knowing approval. If true, these executive orders, pardons, and all other actions would be unconstitutional and legally void. That's the interesting dynamic. So he's not just asking, by the way, and by the way, you're trying to prove it in retrospect now, but there's still a lot riding on it. The Dems will go, he's no longer here. Would you let him be retired, please? No, I'm sorry. He left behind a wake of executive orders, pardons, and declarations and check signing that we're having to deal with now. How much of that was done by his auto pen without him even knowing it was being done? We have to know this. So the letter he wrote, I got a copy of it right here in my hot little hands, says, Dear Mr. Horowitz, I write to request that you conduct a full investigation into President Biden's mental capacity in his final days in office. By now, he says, Biden's mental decline is famous. But then he goes on to say, it appears staffers and officers in the Biden administration may have exploited Biden's incapacity so they could issue orders without an accountable president of sound mind approving them. If, in fact, he says, Biden's staffers were exploiting his mental decline, those orders are null and void. And he says the states, because he's a state attorney general, the states need to know because those orders affect us. For instance, he points out, Biden purported to vacate the death sentences of several convicted murderers in Missouri. Well, the law allows, in the event of need, for the state to be allowed to retry or reconvict under state law if a criminal under federal law is in some way found to have a mistrial or some other exigent circumstance. All right. He also points out he granted his son Hunter Biden a blanket pardon going back more than 10 years. He also points out that he endorsed the legally frivolous theory that the Equal Rights Amendment was timely ratified. You got some states that are glomming on to things that he said or did because they're liberal blue states that may not have the authority to stand on now. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. We need to know. We need to know, did the young interns and the chief of staff and others, did they have their own agenda? And we had a supposedly duly elected, infirm individual for whom any number of things were done for him, but they all affect us. All right, we come back. I'll give you a few more of these just to give you an idea what it's like looking at Biden in the rear view right now. It's amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, let me jump through a few more hoops here in the Biden and the rearview mirror dipper. So we're finding that there's a lot of stuff that he did, like in the final days especially. Like massive expenditures, just money being thrown off the ship like gold bricks, as according to one EPA official who was caught on a Project Veritas video, just like slinging money. Here's an example. I mentioned EPA. How about this? Fox News, Dateline, today. EPA terminates Biden administration's green grants worth $20 billion. That's the other thing. You got to look at some of this money that was being spent, recognizing that it had to have some executive action attached to it because the appropriation was made by Congress, yes, but the actual expenditure is then authorized by the executive branch. So the money can go to this thing, this topic, but unless it is majorly specifically earmarked, the executive branch gets to apply those funds in a way that it believes is best interpretive of what Congress did. That being said, Do you think, in the final days of the Biden administration, that billions of dollars were meant to be set aside in a special account out there in a civilian bank, you know, like put aside so that we got a slush fund to work with in case we want to keep our green energy projects going? No, nobody planned for that. Nobody. So Lee Zeldin, who is now the head of the EPA, he announced today, he announced about a week ago that he was going to be terminating some grants. Oh no, he got busy. He got on it. $20 billion in grants he announced tonight, or today, I mean, that are being canceled were parked at an outside financial institution in what he calls a deliberate effort to limit government oversight by doling out our money, taxpayer money, through just 8 politically connected, unqualified, brand new NGOs. Really? Brand new? Some of them were brand spanking new, like the one by, you know, Stacey Abrams. Had $100 in the bank, just formed their LLC, and bam, all of a sudden she's got $2 billion to work with. These 8 nonprofits were, one were called the Coalition for the Green Capital, one was Climate United Fund, one was Power Forward Communities, one was Opportunity Finance Network, one is called Inclusive, and the Justice Climate Fund. I mean, this is unreal. They just literally threw money out the door, and now I have to wonder, not that I didn't wonder before, but now with what we're finding out, I really have to wonder, is it possible that Biden didn't even authorize that expenditure? How about this? Back to the basics. Trump agency turns the tables on Biden-era memos pushing equity initiatives. So the DOT, Department of Transportation, now under Secretary Duffy, previously under Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg had all kinds of objectives. Remember those? Like racist roads. Remember racist roads? That was awesome. We're going to fix racist roads. Here's an actual quote. Reconnecting communities and reflecting the inclusion of disadvantaged and underrepresented groups in the planning and project selection and design process, and accommodating new and emerging technologies like electric vehicle charging stations. Okay. Sean Duffy says, yeah, we're done with that. He revoked every bit of it. Those memorandums are no longer there. It's all in the rearview mirror. And in his words, we're getting back to doing things that actually help move people from one place to another because we're the Department of Transportation. Oh my gosh, it's a whole new day. How about this? NASA. NASA? Don't go there. I'm going there. NASA. When's the last time NASA put a man on the moon? That'd be the 60s, right? Early 70s, late 60s. Fox News, Dateline, today. NASA spent $13 million on DEI under Biden with quality controls failing, says a watchdog group. Issues at NASA, according to Fox News, under former President Joe Biden, the space agency prioritized embedding diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives into its workforce amid preparations for its Starliner capsule mission, which ultimately went awry, leaving 2 astronauts stranded in space. NASA spent more than $13 million on related efforts to DEI. During the ongoing Starliner spaceship debacle, an IG report highlighted even further shortcomings by the agency, particularly related to quality control around NASA's efforts to return astronauts to the moon. It's like, you just look at this and go, my gosh, like, we have so been living in a fog as a nation. Now, not all y'all, not this show, we've been calling it out left and right, but being a voice in the fog is sometimes a little different than being a voice in the blue skies and the clear days. So I'm saying right now, they got a lot of answering to do. Biden is in the rear view, praise God. But with what we're discovering, not just surmising, but discovering, when you find the giant teleprompter in the fake Oval Office set, when you find the auto pen was used on the bulk of documents allegedly signed by him, when you find the number of things that make you question whether or not he had not only the mental capacity, but even the understanding, even the acquiescence. Did they even walk up to him and take advantage of him, or did they just blow him off, send him on his way, serve him some pudding, and sign the papers because that's what they wanted to do? That's what it feels like.
Or even notify him that the orders he was supposed to be signing.
Yeah.
Or were they just signing them? He doesn't, just don't bother. He has his nap time. We'll just sign this. And, you know, that's why with the Mike Johnson story again, he wasn't even aware of the documents he was, quote, supposed to, you know, or supposedly had signed. So
which is one of two problems. Either A, they signed it for him and he didn't know, or B, he couldn't remember.
Yeah, both are bad.
Both are bad. All right, I got a few minutes before we go to the break. We'll be taking a new dipper here in just a minute called Send Him Packing. You're going to want to hear this one. But let me get some text messages before we go to the break. How about this? I'll scroll down and start from the – oh, my gosh. I got a lot of them. Hang on a second. Adam from Athens says they put him back in the basement. Oh, he's talking about it. Okay. You know what? Remember that 2020 campaign, how much he did from his basement?
The whole campaign was from his basement.
It's unreal.
Not just a little bit.
Mike from Florence, Alabama says, is there a long-term care or hospice division of the Secret Service for ex-presidents? Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. They do get post-presidential. I mean, they still know a lot of state secrets. And they are still, you know, subject to terrorist activity or criminal activity or someone trying to exploit them. So they're still going to have Secret Service protection, and they should. But I get your point. Hospice protection. Ken from Harvest says, are documents signed by AutoPen legit, like thousands of pardons? That's what I want to know. And oh, by the way, I question, because you know what? There weren't thousands of separate signature pardons. They lumped them into one document and signed them en masse. How do you possibly review that many? It's supposed to be a case-by-case basis. There's no way. There's no way. No way. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I had completely forgotten about Biden. You brought him up again. Thanks. We should never forget, John. We should never forget our history, because then we're doomed to repeat it. Thomas from Athens says, Colonel, have you seen the American Thinker article by Jerome Corsi? I have not. He postulates that Barack and Soros planned for Michelle to run instead of Harris just as soon as Biden withdrew. However, Biden immediately endorsed Harris when he announced, possibly as soon as he personally signed that document, thereby destroying the Barack plans to get Michelle on the ticket. Was that a shrewd move by the Biden team to diss Barack? No love lost there. Or was it a Biden brain burp? Either way, we dodged a huge bullet named Michelle and Barack. Barack 3.0, he says. I don't know, man. I've heard that before. I don't have anything to substantiate it. I don't think Michelle wanted it. I don't think she did. I think Michelle will get out there and say stuff once in a while, but I think by and large, she prefers to just live rich right now and be done with it.
You know, she's starting her own podcast, by the way.
Oh, it's important.
Must see
podcast right up there with Call Her Daddy. Fritzy Huntsville says, Colonel, still waiting on the AG to present some cases and see some folks in half cuffs. Perp walk into the courthouse and dawn to dust televised hearings. Fritzy at the Arsenal. Okay, man. I'm assuming, man. Is Fritzy a guy or a girl? Fritzy, we don't know if you're a guy or a girl. Tell us that at least. Brian from Decatur. What's your take on the supposed signatures from Biden being print? Okay, there you go. We just talked about that. I think you texted that before I got into the auto pen. He said, also, do you believe any kind of investigation will be done? Well, I covered that too. All right, Brian, I'm late on your text, brother, but you see where we went. And then he says, by the way, you answered it right after I sent the text. Stay with me, man. I'm trying to be right on top of it. Richard from Madison says, Pearl Jam's Even Flow and Your Dipper reminded me that Pearl Jam has another song called Rearview Mirror with the lyrics, saw things clearer once you were in my rearview mirror. Nice. Very well played, sir. I feel a short video coming on. Brian from Huntsville just says, were the internships clamoring to get the pens and auto pen used aside? I wonder. I don't know how that thing works. I just know what it's supposed to do, but I don't know if it's a separate pen you put in there. Benji from Hackleberg says two things. There was a news video clip of Biden being spotted in some diner in Delaware. Okay. And then the ghost pen thing, he said, reminds me of the video interview of Obama saying if he could still be president, he'd like to be the man running it behind the scenes without recognition. Oh,
you know, I still have that 30-second clip bookmarked from when we played it before of Obama saying that. Yeah.
You got it right now? Yeah. It's probably too late for it right now. Well, you know what?
It's 30 seconds.
You got it handy?
Mm-hmm.
Play it.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with.
Dang,
sounds a lot like what we just saw.
I did not remember the depth to which he said all that. Wow. All right, last few. Paul from Huntsville. Good job, man. Thank you for that. Paul from Huntsville says, I just tuned in, so I may have missed it, but it sounds to me like Radar O'Reilly giving Henry Blake papers. Yes, it does. Here, Colonel, sign here. What am I signing, Radar? Sir, these are the papers that authorize you to sign papers about papers being signed, sir. Thank you, Radar. David from Bucky's, fill those grants. If the grants and the funds have not been spent or distributed, what happens? If they haven't been distributed, can the obligation be canceled? Yes. Actually reducing the deficit by that amount. If the funds have already been reduced, we can't recover them. All we can do is prevent it from happening again. Well, there have been clawbacks. Some of those funds were actually out of the house, so to speak, and Lee Zeldin went and got them back. And there are also, by the way, the ability for grants to be terminated. Now, if they were by congressional appropriation, specifically designed for that thing, it's different. I mean, if the name in the budget says goes to this group, that's congressional action. If the name says X amount of dollars to the EPA for the purposes of applying grants, then you can scratch it back and reapply those to grants that are more in line with the current administration. Last couple, Mike from Florence. So I don't know if it was you or heard another radio show about the auto pen that they found a lot of his stuff was signed. Okay, thank you, Mike. Just got all that done. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, this is an old Star Trek episode that tells exactly what happened in the Biden administration. JP, you need to watch it. And he sends us a link to something from Star Trek. I guess we'll figure that out later.
No, he said maybe it'll make me a Trekkie. I kind of already am. My brother made me watch a lot of Star Trek. So,
all right, man, take me to a break. We'll come back and we'll change topics. Coming up next, send him packing. Yeah, what do you do with foreign nationals in the United States on green cards who want to protest the United States and call for terrorist activities? I don't know. Send them packing. That's what I say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.